most cities have their own anonymous crisis hotline. Few of these hotlines are just for teens, and even fewer are staffed by teens. Radioactive's Caitlin Gaylord takes us inside Seattle's Teen Link, where youth volunteers answer calls from teens in crisis.
You always feel nervous, every shift. You always don't know if it's going to be a dead night and you're not going to get a call, or else you're going to get buzz, 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 buzz. It's going to keep going and you're going to get suicide. And you're always nervous, and the first shift is no different than the next shift.
That's Colin, a senior in high school. He's a volunteer for Teen Link. Teen Link volunteers aren't allowed to use their last names to prevent harassment. Colin sits in a decorated and colorful space. There's almost 80 pictures of smiling volunteers on a corkboard. Wires covering the desk connect computers to headsets to phones. He's waiting for these phones to ring.
Thank you for calling Teen Link, the anonymous and confidential helpline for teens answered by teens.
Colin became a volunteer this year. He's always been the go-to person among his friends when they have issues.
I've had several friends throughout my life deal with suicide or self-harm.
This is also true for Erica, another volunteer at Teen Link. She's 17. In middle school, a friend of hers was suicidal.
And I was pretty much the only person he was talking to about it, and basically his only resource. And so I felt a lot of pressure to basically keep him alive and kind of do that on my own. And that was really difficult for me because I didn't know what to do.
Erica's smile is kind. Her eyes are warm and bright. She has a quiet manner, but it's clear how passionate she was to join Teen Link while dealing with this crisis.
And so I guess my first interest started in thinking about, like, wow, if I did Teen Link, I would have better training and skills to assist other people.
Erica says her friend is doing much better now. Unfortunately, not all teens are able to overcome their issues. Audra Letness was the daughter of a staff member at the Crisis Clinic, the hotline for adults in King County. In 1996, Audra was murdered by her abusive boyfriend. At the time, resources for teens were few and far between. Audra's mother started Teen Link for teens to talk to other teens about their issues in a safe space.
So I think that's what makes us really unique.
That's Brianna Mendoza. She trains the volunteers at Teen Link.
We create a space where young people can talk to each other about what's going on with them and not have to feel judged or have to have the right answers, but be able to just support each other and just be real with each other in whatever experiences they're going through.
But Erica says a lot of teens are still talking to their friends instead of reaching out to organizations like Teen Link.
A lot of people think, like, oh, that seems strange. You know, I don't need Teen Link, or I don't need to call Teen Link because I have friends and I can just talk to my friends about it. But I think it's so powerful to have an outside, you know, non-judgmental perspective on something that's going on in your life.
The difference between talking to your friends and talking to someone at Teen Link is that the volunteers are trained to handle tough situations. Here's Brianna again.
I think oftentimes our culture tends to lean toward advice and problem solving, and I think most of the time if someone has a problem, they've thought about solutions already. They don't need to hear one more thing that they've already tried. What they need is for someone to listen to what has worked for them, what hasn't worked for them, and process with them, like, whatever's coming up for them.
Teen Link's mission is talk it out. The volunteers are there to support the callers and not tell them what to do. Teen Link gets calls about a wide variety of issues, including suicide, school stress, family fights, and self-harm. Julia McIntyre has been there. She's a senior in high school, and in the past few years, she has struggled with an eating disorder. During some of that time, she didn't want help.
You know, sometimes when you're in a really bad place, you're scared, but there's something even more scary about not being scared. And you know, I've been in that place too, when it was like, okay, I just don't want to get better. I just don't want to reach out to anybody. You know, I'm just willing to let myself kind of waste away. And I feel like for most people, it's either the case that they feel, you know, too embarrassed to reach out, or they're just not really scared of what their illness or what their issues could do to them.
Julia didn't know about Teen Link, but she says that if she had reached out, maybe she would have gotten help sooner. Julia went to treatment this year and is now doing better. Erica remembers a call with a girl who, like Julia, wasn't afraid of the danger she was in. The girl was in an abusive relationship and explained to Erica that her love didn't really make sense, and she knew it didn't really make sense, but that didn't stop her from feeling the way she did.
And when I asked her, if you felt that your life was in danger, would you call 911 or would you call the police? And she said no. And that really stuck with me, because regardless of how dangerous the situation was, she didn't want to get her boyfriend in trouble.
And then, Erica says, the girl had to go because her boyfriend was coming soon.
I was so close to just telling her, you know, don't do it. Don't go hang out with him. You know, just stay at home, stay by yourself. But, you know, I can't tell her to do that because that's not what she needs to hear. And it was so hard to let her hang up the phone knowing that he was going to hurt her and it wasn't going to be nice.
At the end of the call, Erica says she felt bad she couldn't have done more.
I think both my supervisor and I were just kind of like, after that call, we were just so sad. And I just had this overwhelming feeling of kind of like failure almost and disappointment that I hadn't been able to do something to change her mind. And you get that feeling of like, what could I have said more to change her mind? And there really isn't anything you could have said more.
Erica says she thinks about that call often. The volunteers keep a logbook of the calls that come in and can look through it to see if someone has called back. If they haven't, there's no way of knowing how they're doing.
It's kind of a strange situation because you're learning about someone's life in a very personal way and you build like a very, very personal relationship with someone in, you know, anything from 10 minutes, 20 minutes to an hour and a half. And you know some of their deepest, darkest struggles, and then you go away from that, never hearing from them again.
Through outreach meetings and discussions with their supervisors, volunteers spend a lot of time talking about and processing their emotions. These challenging calls help form a strong community of volunteers at TeenLink. Both Erica and Colin say this is their favorite part of TeenLink.
It's really awesome to be able to share the experiences you have on the phone lines with people and kind of form another little family.
Erica says that being a volunteer is a rewarding experience because she can see the difference she's making in the lives of the callers.
I'm never going to know what someone else's life is like, but at least now I really think about it. When you're talking to someone on the phone, you're making a very immediate difference in their life. And that, I guess, could be anything from like just talking to someone so that they feel like they're not alone, or actually feeling like, hey, like I may have saved someone's life tonight.
In a few years, Erica will be too old to volunteer for TeenLink. However, she knows that she'll continue to use her skills to empower her friends in the way they deal with their issues. For Radioactive, I'm Caitlin Gaylord.